Trend number 5. Innovation-driven disinflation reshapes the economy. On the central economic questions of inflation, productivity, and income growth, our perceptions are largely dependent on our ability to measure them. Lots of smart people do great work collecting and analyzing data on prices and wages. However, the world seems to be changing faster than our ability to accurately measure it. The U.S. government frequently adjusts prices of goods to account for changes in quality. However, these so-called hedonic adjustments are very difficult to estimate and are only done in a handful of areas. While these changes have had a small aggregate impact, real-world experience suggests that there have been massive improvements in quality via innovation. Consider some new research by Austin Goolsbee and Peter Kleno, which bolsters the idea that the economic data don't fully capture the benefits of the digital economy. Based on new data from Adobe Analytics for millions of products, Goolsbee and Kleno show that e-commerce significantly lowers prices. They estimate that online inflation was about 1 percentage point lower than in the CPI for the same categories from 2014 to 2017. In addition, the rising variety of products sold online implies roughly 2 percentage points lower inflation than in a matching CPI-style model index. Writing in the Wall Street Journal, tech investor Andy Kessler is even more critical of our measuring abilities. In fact, he thinks the government's price and wage estimates are close to worthless. Kessler acknowledges efforts to account for technological and quality improvements through hedonic adjustments, but thinks they don't come close to capturing true advances. He suggests the following thought experiment. Think about your car's automatic emergency braking, sometimes known as pre-crash or collision avoidance. It has been an increasingly popular option in recent years. By 2022, it will be standard on most cars. It consists of some silicon sensors and a few pieces of code. Today, it costs maybe $50 to produce. But what's it worth? Let's do a little hedonic decomposing of our own. Before these sensors, you would have had to hire a person to ride shotgun and constantly watch for potential collisions and slam on the brakes for you. In 2016, the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety estimated the average driver spends about 300 hours a year in the car, logging more than 10,000 miles. Paying someone even $10 an hour to stare into traffic means that over 5 years, collision avoidance is worth nearly $15,000. Double if you want someone to look out the back window, too. Does this show up anywhere in the Consumer Price Index? Of course not. One of the most life-saving features has dropped in cost by 3 orders of magnitude in less than a decade. But to the BLS, it's practically non-existent. Similarly, consider that 20 years ago, many well-off U.S. citizens owned a camera, a video camera, a CD player, a stereo, a video game console, a cell phone, a watch, an alarm clock, a set of encyclopedias, a world atlas, a DVD player, and other tools that had a combined cost of more than $10,000. All of that functionality is now either standard on smartphones or can be purchased at an app store for less than the cost of a cup of coffee. Another fast-growing sector of the economy with serious measurement problems is healthcare. Government statistics essentially do not adjust for quality improvements in healthcare, despite the clear evidence that healthcare is more effective today than in the past, as average life expectancy has increased 4 years to 79 over the past 25 years. Many studies have shown that if quality improvements were factored into healthcare spending on conditions like heart attacks and colon cancer, inflation in those areas would be much lower. These examples of mismeasurement or even unmeasurement suggest that, in many ways, consumers may be far better off than is commonly assumed. However, many industries are lagging in productivity and wage growth precisely because they have yet to fully exploit the power of information technology. That is, there's a chasm between high productivity and low productivity firms and industries based in large part on infotech intensity. This could be called the information gap. And bridging this chasm is the driving force behind the golden age of the fifth techno-economic revolution, even if it isn't yet showing up in the numbers. So, while a growing body of research suggests that the digital economy is delivering even bigger gains than the numbers convey, the majority of the economy is still operating below its innovation potential. That's why we still have inflated prices and depressed wages in those industries. And this implies an unprecedented opportunity. Once healthcare, education, transportation, retail, construction, energy, and manufacturing begin operating more like the competitive, tech-focused industries, the low-price, high-wage benefits of technology will spread to millions more workers and consumers. Fortunately, there's evidence that these industries are beginning to do so. Given this trend, we offer the following forecast for your consideration. First, interest rates will stay low as the impact of innovation keeps inflation subdued. Furthermore, low inflation and interest rates should support higher equity valuations. Second, over the coming decade, growth stocks will outperform value stocks. If innovation is creating solid value for consumers now and into the medium term, it is positive for the creators and beneficiaries of this change. In periods of intense change, growth stocks should do particularly well. Stocks that appear cheap may simply be victims of change and innovation. Third, businesses that help facilitate the transformation of traditional industries to digital industries will be some of the biggest winners. Innovation not only impacts high-tech sectors, but drives down the price of commodities. Adjusted for mileage and the CPI, automobile fuel costs less in 2019 than in 1968. And it also transforms business models. From a sector perspective, technology companies are disrupting the way we buy things, pay for goods and services, consume media, and more. Companies that facilitate e-commerce or benefit from the shift to online advertising could be big beneficiaries of these changes. Fourth, companies in the so-called consumer discretionary sector will benefit from increased consumption due to lower quality-adjusted pricing. It's a classic case of price elasticity. Mobile phones that serve as navigation aids, encyclopedias, and cameras are just the most obvious example of products where intense feature improvement leads to a better value for consumers. And that frees up money to be spent on other goods and services. For example, increased free time should continue to support higher spending. More time spent on leisure and sports, as well as the greater share of spending devoted to those activities, has already enhanced those businesses. And fifth, the U.S. government will place greater emphasis on accurately measuring inflation and growth. However, it's unclear that this problem will ever be truly resolved because the adjustments are so subjective. For investors, consumers, and managers alike, it's probably enough to know that we'll continue getting more for our money as long as we strive to maximize innovation.
Thank you for joining us this month to explore the latest trends and the ways in which they will impact your business, your career, and your life. All of us here at Trends invite you back next month when we will focus on more of the trends that are now emerging to shape your future.